Thank you so much, Mary, and thank you, girls, for helping out. What a blessing. Beautiful song, and it kind of ties in with the message as well, that go along with the sermon kind of a song, and I sure appreciate that. That is so good. Here in our passage, of course, we have a lot of things going on here. We have Samuel, of course, about to be born, and one of the great preachers of the Old Testament, and a lot of Bible stories about Samuel and about all that he did. And but I draw your attention, of course, to his mother here, Hannah, a godly lady. And it is Mother's Day, and I wanted to talk about Hannah. It's kind of interesting. This was actually going to be tonight's message, and I kept adding to it and adding to it and adding to it, and decided we're going to make another two-parter, but because it just was so much. There's so much material. And but I think you'll be challenged today. I hope you will. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into it. Father, thank you again for the beautiful music today. Thank you for the songs that are such a challenge to us and such a blessing to us. And Lord, certainly whatever it takes for us to do your will, that should be what our prayer is. Certainly that was this mother's prayer, Hannah's prayer, just whatever it takes. Lord, I'll do anything. And so I pray that would be our attitude today. And please speak to our hearts today. I pray if there's anyone here not saved, that you'd save them today. God, help them not to leave here without Jesus. And I pray for Christians that you'll challenge our hearts with the message today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, someone says, without mothers, there'd be no children. And that is very true and a very deep statement. But the truth is, without children, there'd be no mothers. And Hannah was a lady, she was a wife, but she wasn't a mother. And she wanted to be a mother, so desperately she wanted to be a mother. And in our passage here, we see this taking place. We see a lot of things happening here with Elkanah and his relationship here. And we obviously recognize Hannah as now she's kind of moving into the forefront here of the story. And we see the birth of Samuel mostly through the eyes of his mother, Hannah. And it's very significant. A significant wife and mother in the Bible is Hannah. And I get my title of the message from verse 27 a little bit later on. And just the first three words, for this child. She said, for this child I prayed. But the title of the message this morning and tonight is for this child. You ever think, what can we do for this child? You know, as a pastor of a church, I think about all the children that are back in the section back here. And, of course, going over to the 4 and 5-year-olds and then working our way this way, 2 and 3-year-olds, and then the toddlers and the babies and all those little children. For this child, what are we going to do for this child? And Hannah, of course, is wording that in a way. She prayed for this child, and we'll talk about that later on. But all that took place for this child, everything that has to happen for this child. And a mother had to have her heart broken. She had to have go through a time of affliction. Why? Well, for this child, she had to go through that. I look around at all the mothers that have gone through trial after trial, difficulty after difficulty, and most of the time, and many times, it is for this child, the child next to you, the child maybe back in one of the rooms back there or over in the school in our junior churches over there. But it was for this child. Maybe it was for this child, and this child is no longer a child. Now this child is an adult. Maybe this child has children of their own. But sacrifices are made, and times of difficulty come, and it all comes about because of it's for this child. And all that takes place for each child. Can you imagine if we went around the room and just, because we're all children. I mean, every one of us has our own story. We all have our story of when we were born. And we have our story of, by the way, most of us don't remember that too well. But we have our story of growing up and all that took place. And you think about everything that happened for each child. It's amazing. And of course, as a church, we have to consider, and I will tie that in as we go on with our care for each child and our work for each child. And we run buses to reach children and to go after every child that we possibly can. And so we're talking about a lot of things, and we key on, of course, Samuel and his mother, but obviously there were other people involved, and certainly a father was involved, Elkanah, and then we talk about his mother, Hannah, but all that had a part, and all that have a part for this child. Everybody that does something, and everybody that has a part for every child. It is amazing. Now, I think of Elkanah here and how he did right. And he is doing right as we come into chapter 1. And I kind of want to just go through this quickly and deal with what's going on here. Elkanah is doing right. He is required every year to go to three feasts. And as he goes to these three feasts, of course, they are the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And he had to go to Shiloh. He had to go where the tabernacle actually was, and he would offer his sacrifices, and he would go to a feast. And this was doing right. This was obeying God. God told him, you're the head of the house, and this is what you need to do. And so this is what verses 1 through 3 are talking about. And it says, this man went up, verse 3, out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. He is obeying God. He's doing right. He is a devout man. And very devout men, these men that really were wanting to please God, they took their family with them. Now, they did not have to take their family, but by the way, a real man and a real man of God will always include his family, and they'll want their family to be a part of everything they do, but especially as they're serving their God. They'll want to bring their family. And so Elkanah is a very devout man, and he's taking his family with him. Let me just say, we need some devout men. We need some men that'll lead their families to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need some men that'll lead their family to the family altar in prayer. And they'll lead their family to reading the Bible together. And we need some men that'll be leaders in their home. That's what America needs today. And without that, we're really headed for trouble. Elkanah was this kind of man. By the way, don't think for one minute that, Hannah is just all by herself out there. No, she had a husband that was a godly man. And, you say, I just wish my wife would be more godly. Sir, it starts with you being a godly leader in the home. And then you might have a more godly wife. Amen. That's all just commercial, okay? But we need some godly men. We really do. Now, here we come to the story, and it was common in the Old Testament, you read this often, where a man would have more than one wife. Never have understood that because you always get another mother-in-law. But, of course, I love my mother-in-law because she's here today. And that's not why I love her. I love her when she's not here, too. But I definitely want to say that. But let me just mention this. That's not God's plan to have more than one wife, all right? People always say, well, they did, so it should be all right. But that was never God's plan. It was not God's plan to have Adam, Eve, and Debbie, and Betty, and all the rest of them. That was not, by the way, it wasn't God's plan to have Adam and Steve either, amen? And now we get people riled up. But it was common, and it did take place often. And verse 2, it says he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And so Peninnah has children, Hannah has no children, and you can see the plot starting to thicken. Hannah wants to be a mother. Hannah wants to know what that's like to hold a little baby in her arms. She wants to know what that's like to rear that child and to love that child. And so Hannah, obviously now, they have the same husband. And Hannah has no children. Peninnah, Mother's Day comes and she gets the candle. And Hannah has to just remain seated. Yeah, she missed out on the candle. Boy, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? And so she's heartbroken over that. Now, verse 4 says they all come together, and it was time for the offering and everything, and the peace offering is eaten, and when the peace offering is eaten, it is up to the head of the house, Elkanah, the husband, to give portions to all his family. And the Bible says in verse 5, unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. Well, obviously to Peninnah and to her children he gave a portion, and they ate. But the worthy portion means it was a larger portion that he gave to Hannah. It says, for he loved Hannah. That means he loved her more. That means that he felt a little bit of pity for her because she had no children. I don't know. The Bible doesn't necessarily say. But the fact is he gave more to Hannah and he loved Hannah. And verse 6, it says her adversary. That's talking about Penina. Now you see the problem. Two women in the house, that's trouble. You just try to imagine that, all right? And there is trouble coming. Her adversary also provoked her sore. Now, so here's Penina sitting here. Here's Elkanah sitting here. And here's Hannah over here. And Penina, she gets two chicken McNuggets. And Hannah gets six chicken McNuggets. Are you with me? Okay, you say, why didn't you say pork chops? Why didn't I say pork chops? Okay, anyway, and I'm just trying to draw your attention into this thing, okay? And so Penina, she sees that little Buford gets one of her sons. Buford, that's such a good name. I'll never use Poindexter again. But you had to be here last week to understand that. But little Buford got one chicken nugget. And little Clarabelle got a chicken nugget, and then Penina, she herself got two chicken nuggets. But over here, we got six chicken nuggets and barbecue sauce to dip them in.
Amen.
And thank you. And so Penina is not happy. All right, she is not happy. So what is she going to do? She's going to say, "Well, praise God." Well, that's what they're supposed to do, but that's not what she does. So what does she do? Every opportunity, and in my mind, I go through this thing. I rehearse this thing in my mind. I see Penina, and I see her eyeing that big bunch of food. And we're probably not talking chicken nuggets. We're probably talking T-bone steak and baked potato and sour cream, even though I don't really like that, but lots and lots of butter and chocolate pie and all kinds of stuff like that. And I see her looking over there. Why'd she get so much food? Who does she think she is? You know, she got more food by herself than me and all my kids. Why'd she get all the food? Can you see it? Oh yeah. She is hotter than a firecracker. All right? And so Penina is jealous, and now every opportunity, I can just see it. So here's Penina and Hannah. And by the way, this happens often during a meal. I need to go powder my nose. And so Hannah goes to powder her nose, and Penina follows her to powder her nose. And as they're in the nose powdering section of the house, Penina just casually says, "My children sure look nice today, don't they?" And Hannah says, "Yes, they do." And Penina looks at her and says, "Too bad you don't have any children. I'm sure you would enjoy that." And Hannah says, "Yes, I really would enjoy that. Too bad today at Mother's Day at the church, I got a candle. You didn't get one." Do you see what I'm saying? And Hannah has to go through that. Penina, the Bible says, she provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. She wanted to be a mother so bad. And the Bible says, and as he did so year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her every time. She provokes her over and over again. And so much that it upsets Hannah. Every year, the Bible says, therefore she wept and did not eat. She couldn't even eat. She was heartbroken because she had no child. She desperately wanted to be a mother. Later on, she refers to this as affliction. This idea that she could not be a mother. Now let me stop and just mention this here. God allowed that. The Bible says the Lord shut up her womb. God allowed this to happen. And folks, understand, God allows a lot of things in our lives that we don't understand. And I promise you, service after service, Hannah would ask God, I'm sure, "God, why? Why does Penina have children, and why can't I have a child? I want to be a mother so desperately." God allowed it, though. And I think God allowed it because God wanted to prepare her heart so she'd be willing to do anything. So that she would be willing to do anything for this child. It's a special church, honestly, that runs buses. It really is. I don't say that because we do it. I say that because I've pastored for many, many years and run buses in all those churches. It's a special church that opens their doors to everybody. And I'm talking about with a bus ministry, you open your doors to sometimes 50 or 60 children at a time. And usually there are several in there that have never been to church before. And it's exciting. But a God has to prepare hearts to deal with that. Why though, for this child? Y'all to watch him unload at Vacation Bible School, which is total, complete, and utter organization. Right on the edge of chaos. Organized chaos. And here they come, boy. You know, and every time one will get off, it's for this child. That's why we do this. Usually by Tuesday, we're looking at each other, and bus workers are getting off the bus, and it's typically 100 degrees in there, and you know, I mean, it's just an amazing thing to watch, and Shirley Bailey, you know, usually by this time, by Tuesday, sometimes by Monday, first day, you know, she's frazzled, and we kind of, what in the world are we thinking? Oh, here's why, right here, and there's a little five-year-old. You know, it's for this child. Why were you up 2 o'clock in the morning? It was for this child. Why, you know, do you go through those 9 months? I know it's tough on we men, but it is tougher on the women. I've understood that. Amen. Why for this child? Hannah, why would you want a child? God was preparing her heart so that she would do anything for this child, to make sure this child was the most special child. And isn't that how it is? They are the most special child. This child, to make sure this child does the will of God. Understand, folks, God has a plan for every child. Every child. Isn't that awesome to think about? That's why we can't take for granted our nursery and our nursery workers. We can't take for granted our toddlers and our toddler nursery. We can't take that for granted. Now, that'll go down, famous word, toddly. That'll come up next 10 years, right? Yeah, pastor and his toddlies. But God has a plan for every one of them. Every child. Isn't that amazing to think about? Everyone. Tonight we'll have little Anna and little Ashley up here, and God has a plan for those children. That's so exciting to me. And would to God we would get as serious as Hannah got about having a child. Would to God a Sunday school teacher would be as serious as Hannah about, oh God, I want you to fill my classroom with children. Each child, God, you have a plan for them, and God, I want to teach them. Every child, he has a plan. Would to God we'd get serious about having them. You know, people are so flippant about having children today. You know, for some it's just a little extra welfare money. For some it's more food stamps. Honestly, huh? So flippant about it. You know, sexual relationship outside of marriage. So flippant about not really caring whether they have what God intended or not, as far as having a dad and a mom. Oh, well, you know, women, oh, I can handle this myself. Maybe you can't. But why would you plan things that way instead of saying, God, how about your will? The biggest insult to motherhood in all the world is the murderous abortion rate of America, where mothers are supposed to love little babies and where a little baby should be, in the safest place in all the world. It's not in the bedroom, in a little crib. It's not even in our church nursery, where we do everything we can to protect those little children. But a little baby ought to be the most safest place in the whole world, ought to be inside their mother's womb. And mom after mom after mom is hiring a murderer to murder that little baby. Snatch right out of what should be the most sacred, safe place a little baby could be in. For this child, what are we going to do for this child? Homosexuals are wanting to adopt him. It's going to happen. Our president made his famous statement this week. Get ready, folks. And it's going to be bigger. I know they already are. I'm just saying, what are you going to do for this child? Crack babies, where a mom doesn't care. Her own feeling is more important. Babies are already diseased with alcohol. So flippant about having children. Oh, well, hopefully they'll live long enough for me to get some more welfare money. Ought to break our hearts. Churches ought to be serious about bringing children. We ought to be serious about bringing children. And we ought to be serious about what we do with them when we get them here. It ought to be planned. It ought to be clear. It ought to be so obvious to us. I'm just saying, Hannah said, I want a child. I've got to have a child. I would love to have the Sunday school teacher that would beg God for this child. I got to have a child in my class. Bus captains that would beg God for this child, that drive up and down the streets begging God instead of kind of haphazardly trying to find somebody if they can. I always get a kick out of verse 8. It's one of the funniest verses in all the Bible. Here's a typical husband. Then said Elkanah, her husband, her Hannah's weeping. I mean, she is heartbroken. Peninnah's giving her a hard time. Peninnah pulls out her pictures every now and then, family pictures, you know, of all the kids. Can you see her? She's provoking her sore, the Bible says. So Elkanah, here's the husband, typical husband. Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Dummy, dummy, dummy. Can you imagine? I mean, seriously, it's like, you know, your wife wanted that certain Mother's Day gift. Maybe she asked for flowers. Maybe she asked for those basket flowers or something. You know, whatever. And you forget. Or you forget an anniversary. Dumb. Whatever. You know, or she gave you hints that she wanted, you know, this bracelet or this thing or whatever it is. And you fail. You forgot. In fact, the anniversary came and went, and you didn't even pay attention. You went golfing with the guys. Oh, you're dead. And so finally, a week later, after the anniversary, a week later, after her birthday, whatever it was, a week later, you finally, you know, she's weeping. She's all, I mean, she can't even, it's unbelievable. And she says to you, she says, you know, well, you forgot our anniversary. And you say, well, why are you crying? Oh, man, you're in so much trouble. What is your problem? She said, you forgot. You forgot my birthday. You forgot Christmas. Are you with me, fellas? You forgot. You forgot the day we met. Seriously, guys. Really? I'm just saying. And you look at her and say, well, okay, it's not the end of the world. That's not the right words. And finally, you know, but and she says, I asked you 1 week before this occasion if you would get me this thing. You know, I begged you, please, could I? And you forgot. You bought yourself a new set of golf clubs instead. Yeah, they're working out real well. not good. Don't tell her your score either. That's not going to work. Anyway, and so you say, well, but you have me. That is not going to work. So verse 8, Hannah pretty much is all alone. Husband's not being the comfort he should be, right? I just wrote in my notes, dummy. But you know, the key here is verse 11. And again, you know, you're going through a tough time. It's difficult and things are hard. Hard times make us what we need to be. And Hannah needed to want this child more than anything in all the world. And verse 11, it says, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord. God, if you'll just give me a child, I'll give him to you. I'd love to know if a Sunday school teacher's saying that. If a bus captain is saying that. A junior church leader is saying that. God, if you'll just give me a child, I'll give them to you. I'll make sure they're ready for you. I'll do all I can so that they can be whatever you need them to be when you need them to be it, God. She vowed a vow. Now, certainly in this time, there's no doubt her husband was in agreement because the Bible says otherwise the vow would be disallowed. So as parents, they decided if they have a son, they'll give that son to God. God, if you give us a child, we'll give him back to you. Lord, if you give me a child in my Sunday school class, I'll do all I can so he's ready for you. I'll do my part for the year, 2 years, whatever it is that I have that child. God, if you'll give us a child on our bus route, we'll make sure they're ready for you. We'll do our best to prepare them for whatever God wants. Hence the words, for this child. For this child. I wonder how many mothers here prayed for that first child, begged God for that first child. Oh God, please, would you let me have that child? Because for this child, I'll do anything. I'll do anything. And so let me give you some points this morning before we close. Certainly I can't give them all. I got a bunch of them. But number one, and I just wrote down several things that I was thinking about that we do for this child. Number one is, for this child I displayed this child. Seldom is it a secret when we have a child. God makes it pretty obvious because for 9 months you grow. Amen. In fact, it's hard to keep a secret for 9 months. You ever ask somebody, this falls in the line of dummy also. You ever ask, hey, when's the baby due? And they say, I'm not pregnant. Boy, that's never good. But there's a lot of customs of announcing a birth. Of course, now pictures are everywhere. I mean, it's just with Facebook and all that kind of stuff. I mean, pictures are going out all over the place. I mean, every kind of picture. And for this child, I displayed. In other words, we're proud of that child. We want everybody to know we had a child. I mean, your child, and don't get me wrong. I mean, all babies are cute, aren't they? Anyway, look. I mean, honestly, I'll be honest. You seen one picture, you seen them all. That's kind of the way I look at it. Mothers are not like that at all. I mean, it's oh, look, isn't this so precious? And there's the kid laying there. Yeah, I guess. I mean, I've seen pictures. I don't want to get in a lot of trouble here. But you know, here's one of the child going, and 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 here, you know, I mean, that's all the pictures. Oh, look, and look at this, and look at this one, and look at this one. What are we doing? We're so proud of these children. These are our kids. For this child I displayed. A lot of ways to do it. Video. Now we have video. You know, some folks have you over for videos of the baby. And you see all the firsts, right? You know, some folks want to video the birth and serve we won't even get into that. But you're watching all, and we have the first rollover. You know, look, watch, and you watch this video, roll over, and Poindexter's like, not Poindexter, Buford is laying there, and you know, the first time they crawl, first time they lifted their head, first dirty diaper, right? You know, some of you want to frame it, and first time they walk, and I mean, we're so excited about all those kind of things, and I think about Hannah was so happy. Hey, my baby's born. She's so excited. And they're on display. But here's something I want you to think about, okay? Every time one of them's on display, someone else is watching with lots of interest, watching, listening for birth announcements, watching ultrasounds. Yeah, his name's Satan. And he's after him. What can I do for this child? Yeah. For this child I displayed. I put him, I wanted everybody to know. Like Satan was watching for the birth of Moses. Remember that? And Pharaoh had all the little babies murdered. Little baby boys. Yeah. Like Satan was watching for the birth of Jesus. And God put a star in the sky to announce the birth of the Messiah. Oh, yeah. But Satanic Herod was watching, wasn't he? When the wise men went to search, he said, tell me, make sure you let me know. I want to worship the baby too. He wanted to slaughter him. Yeah. You know, honestly, we display our children all the time. We're so proud of this child. I just walk through our foyer out here. You'll see it. Little Frankie Janiel down a little basket. You know, little basket got his name right there. You know, Satan's looking at that little name right there too. Right out here on this little wall right here, we have our kindergarten graduation board with one graduate, and there's Ethan. Right out there. There he is. You know, he's got his tractors and his toys. And, you know, mom and dad walk by. And Kelvin with his unique hand now. And, you know, and they're, boy, you know, that's my boy. That's our boy. You know, and what do we say? We're saying, here he is. There he is. And guess what? Satan's looking real hard at that, too. And then right across from that, we have our seniors graduating. We say, hey, here's our kids right here. Here they are. Yeah, they're going out on their own. And guess what? Satan is watching that too. Last week we had our Master Club award night, and young people got up, and Andrew Wilbar, he leads his dad to the Lord, which we've been praying for that to happen, and he's up here, and Andrew, when he gets excited, he starts sucking air. You know, he's like a preacher, you know, and he says, and if you were to die today, and would you, do you know for sure, you'd go to heaven? Amen. And boy, he got into it and everything. And what are we, and we're holding, and he's, here he is, right here. We're saying, oh, isn't that great? And of course, Bob, you know, he's so proud and all that. And there's Satan, and demons are watching. See that boy? Get him. I don't want any boys to be excited about leading people to Christ. Yeah, and boy, those kids got up and they sang. Wasn't that good? What a blessing, little children getting up and they're singing. You know, we're all sitting there. We're so excited. We got them on display because we're so proud of them. And then Satan just puts a great big old target on each one of them. He says, go after them. Go after their mom. Go after their dad. Go after their teacher. We got to disrupt this thing. We do not want them to get out here and serve God. And Hannah knew that when she displayed little Samuel, she knew he'd have a target put on him. And that leads me to point two. Not only for this child I displayed, number two, for this child I prayed, she said. For this child, I prayed before he was ever born, I prayed. I prayed for him to be born, and I prayed for him after he was born. I prayed for him before he was born. I prayed for him all the time. He was so special to me, so important to me. How important are your children to you? for this child I prayed. Verse 27, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. I prayed to have a child. I begged God to give me a child, and he gave me this child. Mom and Dad, before you get so frustrated with little Buford and Beulah, perhaps you should remember how much you prayed for God to give them to you. You know, now, yeah, well, I asked God to give me a baby, not a teenager. That does happen. Has it ever occurred to you that the prayer doesn't stop once they're born? The prayer keeps going. I'd venture to say that we have a lot of grandmas and grandpas and great-grandmas and great-grandpas here. They're still praying for their little boy, who is also a grandpa or a grandma, or are you with me? Yeah, for this child I prayed. We need to pray for our children. I don't know of a tougher time. I know when I first got saved, I remember thinking, as Brenda and I were when we first got married and started thinking about having a family, I remember thinking, boy, I don't know if it can be any tougher for kids. It is tougher. It's a mess. We need to pray. Bless God, better run those buses. Boy, I'll tell you, if you don't, when's the last time you prayed for our little bus kids? Some of them don't have a dad. Some of them don't have a mom. Some of them, all they hear is fighting all the time. Some of them, they smell marijuana and they see drugs all the time in their home. Are you listening to me? Some of them are being molested. Often, they're being abused. For some, the only time they hear an adult say, I love you, is when they come to church. And they ought to hear it often when they come to church. Amen. But you know, one thing they have to have is they have to have people praying for them. For this child, I prayed. Sunday school teacher, you prayed for him to come. Why'd you quit praying for him? Bus worker, you prayed for him to get on your bus and come, and now they came. Why don't you still have that list and pray for them faithfully? Mom, you prayed for a child. Why don't you keep praying? For this child I prayed. Vacation Bible school, it's coming. Oh, can they ever be a pain? But we prayed to fill up this room. Isn't that amazing? Look at all these kids. It's wild in here. Isn't that what we prayed for? In the skit last Sunday night, in honor of our 10-year anniversary, we were reminded of our first bus ministry. And we had one child. We planned for thousands. I mean, we were ready. Boy, we were going to have a big day, and we had one. Yeah. But you know what? That one needed us to pray. For this child I displayed. I let everybody know. Held him right up there. Satan drew a target on him. For this child I prayed. Prayed for God to use him. Prayed for God to save him. Hannah prayed. Prayed for God to protect him. For this child I prayed. Number three, for this child, I'm afraid. Recently, I've met several couples. They said, we're not having children. Why? Why wouldn't you have children? Because the world's such a mess. I'm so afraid to bring any children into this world. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? For this child, I'm afraid. The world is a mess. The economy, the morals, politics, what a mess. Terrorism, it is a mess. Sometimes I think about our little babies back there, and I think, I wonder what their America is going to be like. Even these children, what will their America be like? What will their church be like? What will their life be like? Of course, that should cause us to pray even more. It should cause us to stand more. It should cause us to vote right instead of thinking about our wallets. For this child, I'm afraid. But it's no reason to not have children. Because of number four, for this child, I will not be dismayed. I will not be dismayed. You know, we could fret over it. And Hannah could have totally talked herself out of it. Well, you know, if the world is such a mess and everything's so bad, then maybe I'm better off not to have children. But she said, no, I believe there is a God in heaven. It's easy to fret over bringing children into the world. By the way, it's easy to fret over bringing children into the church. It's an amazing responsibility. You know, it really is. It's easy to fret over bringing children into your life. That's why we don't have more people begging to teach Sunday school. You know, it's just a hassle. I don't want to deal with all that stuff. Yeah, I know. I know. You know, we do have the ability to do something with a child. And please get this, and I'm just about done. We do. We can play games and all that. In fact, that's going to be one of my points tonight. But we can do, you know, and we can do something even good with a child. But we never can do as much as God can. When God gets the heart of a child, we can't even get close to that, honestly. We'll bring them into Vacation Bible School. They'll have a lot of fun. We can give them cookies. We got cookies. I mean, we have some of the best cookies in all the world, really. We have awesome Kool-Aid. Amen. I mean, it's great, great stuff. Lemonade, tea, all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, we have some of the best. We have, you know, we have nice facilities and a lot of things. We have funny skits. Oh, they're absolutely hilarious. You ought to see the ones this year. I can hardly wait to find out. And I mean, we have got stuff. It's just unbelievable. But understand this. We can only do whatever we can do. He can do anything. Here's what Hannah had to learn. Hannah had to learn, and she had to get it in her heart, that God can do something with her child. God, if you give me a child, I'll make sure he's yours. God, if you give me a child, I'll make sure that child serves you. I'll do everything I can so that he'll read his Bible, he'll pray, he'll love you, he'll grow up walking with you, his children will love you, their children will love you, and God, I'm going to do everything, because I can be a good mom, I can feed him, and I can sew his clothes, and I can take care of him when he's sick, and I can be a good mom, but I can never do as much as what God can do. I can't even come close. And God, I'm going to trust you with him. Jesus said this in Matthew 19:14, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me. Forbid them not. God, I'm going to lead them to you. Lead the children to him. You know what inspires me at Vacation Bible School time? There's one thing. It's not how fun it is for me. It's not all the quality gifts that are given out. Though they are quality, always. I can hardly imagine what they'll be this year. And it's not any of that. You know what inspires me? Is what he can do with those children. Amen? I mean, honestly. Well, can we give them something? Sure we can. We can give them a good time. We can give them a lot of things. But we can't do anything near what he can do. Those little children, every one of them, the ones that grow up in this church, the ones that'll be here for the very first time, their eyes will be big, and it'll be like, wow, I'm in the big church. This is a big church. And they're not, you know, and we can lead them to the one who can change their life. That's what it's all about, folks. That's what it became about with Hannah. You know, here's Hannah. yeah, I'm so sick of Penina and hearing about her kids. She showed me her pictures. I don't know how many times I've watched videos of all her kids, each one of them, how they grew up and all the firsts of everything. I am so sick and tired. And yet, she had to get rid of that. That isn't why we have kids, so we can show them off, is it? We do show them off. It's okay. But I'm just saying, that isn't why we have. Why should we have them? So we can give them to him. Amen. That's why. That's why. Here's what Hannah did. Hannah said, she said, here's my little boy. And the Bible says she lent him to the Lord. I love that. She lent him to the Lord. Yes, she lent him to the Lord so that the Lord would use him to serve, but also so he'd be safe. Because you're never safer than you are with the Lord. Let me close with two verses. Psalm 127, verse 3, and we will finish this tonight. Psalm 127 and verse 3. The Bible says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Whew. That is so good. Psalm 27, verse 10. Psalms 27 and verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Does that show you how important children are to God? You know, when a father, I mean, fathers and mothers should never forsake their children. Ever. Never. But God says, but if they do, I'm there. I'm there. The greatest thing in all the world we can do is we can bring our children to Jesus. What can I do for this child? You can bring him to Jesus. That's the very, very best thing, most important thing we can do. For this child I displayed, we all do it, show their pictures, but Satan's watching. He's after every one. For this child I prayed, I begged God for the child. I prayed God to save the child. I prayed to God that he would protect the child. For this child I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm so afraid that I'm going to give him to God. And for this child, I'll not be dismayed because I know God has a plan for their life. Wow, it's so exciting to think. You know, I looked around and I see our college kids back. I see the Letson boys coming back. I'm sorry, the Letson men. I see John here. I see Robert. I haven't seen Robert. I don't know how long it's been since I've seen Robert. I saw Josh Rincon back there. And you know, it's such an exciting time. But these guys, all these guys were actually once cute. And they were little. And somebody said, what can we do for this child? This child. God said, I'll take him. I'll take him. Amen. I hope you think about that today and thank God for mothers that child is so special to them. That child, they went through literally the jaws of death to bring that child into this world. When's the last time you thanked your mom just for being your mom? When's the last time you just said, Mom, thank you? I know there's cute little cards. I know there's flowers. There's all kinds of little things. But if you just look her in the eyes and say, you know, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't even be here. Thank you, Mom. Thank you. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. For this child. For this child. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, Preacher, I've never even been saved. If I died right now, I do not know if I'd go to heaven or not. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anyone? Anyone at all? I do not know whether I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. How many Christians would say, Preacher, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I know that. God's speaking to my heart about a decision I need to make. God's dealing with me about something in my life. Please pray for me. Raise your hand all over. Slip it up. Slip it up. Come on. Be honest. Be honest. Father, bless our invitation. Have your will, please, in our lives. I pray every one of us would take more seriously what we're going to do for this child. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.